So let's talk a little basketball here. Jason Walker is the Dalai Lama of PetraHoops.com. For the first time this season, we have had him on the show. He probably thinks he was like being suspended, like, you know, Bud Selig had handed down a suspension on him or something, or Adam Silver or whoever's running the NBA this week. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I thought I was on some kind of list.
You know we love you. We haven't been in the basketball mode. I mean, right. Charles has, probably because of his college team, who's supposedly good this year, not that I give a damn, and that's your college team too. How about that? But Russ and I have had a hard time getting on the Hawks bandwagon this year.
Yeah.
So therefore, we just took it out on you and we said we don't want him on the show.
That's right. I mean, why? You can risk alienating the six people that care about the Hawks this season.
Well, I mean, but why is that? Why is this team? Is it no star power? I mean, they're a better basketball team to some extent because of how they play, and now they're struggling. So, of course, you know, we were going to wait until after they got under 500 to call you, but
right. Still,
I mean, there's just something that's not, doesn't seem to be clicking with the fans or something. I don't know.
Well, there's a couple things working here. One, you know, unless you're really a championship caliber team in Atlanta, the city really doesn't come out to the games and get behind you. They care. They watch them on TV, love the NBA. It's a great NBA city to watch TV. But it's not always about the Hawks. So the Hawks have to have some kind of juice going for them. And so there's two ways to get that. One's being a championship caliber team, and the other one's by having a big star. And the Hawks have neither. So what you had coming in, and then you couple that on, well, you could say striking out on Dwight Howard, but they went for him and didn't get him. And so what you were left with was a team of really solid dudes, but not a whole lot of juice behind him. I mean, Paul Millsap was a great free agent signing.
Right.
And everybody who watches the NBA says so. So for the 0.002% of the American population that get into basketball like that, they were really hyped about Paul Millsap coming to Atlanta. And he's been everything as advertised, including being an all-star. But when that's your only big move, and you traded Joe Johnson, and you let Josh Smith walk out the door, you don't have much going for you. And then the heartbreak of losing Al Horford pretty much opened the door for everybody else who wanted to leave.
So what's good about this team? Why should we watch this team?
This team, I tell you, is the reason why it's good to watch this team is if you really like offensive basketball, not offensive like it offends you, but like moving the basketball from side to side. You know, in the Mike Woodson, Larry Drew era, especially in the Woodson part, the ball would just get stuck on one side. There's nothing more boring than to watch isolation basketball. It's dull. The Hawks move the basketball. They've got willing people. The stars, which I would consider to be Horford and Millsap, move the ball extremely well. There's a lot of unselfish players. And it's generally fun to watch, pretty much like watching the San Antonio Spurs. As a basketball guy, you love it. As a casual fan, you're not going to be too excited about it.
But they need more talent still, though, don't they?
Well, yeah, they need more, right. To win a championship or to be championship caliber, you got to have that top-end talent. And Millsap and Horford are fantastically efficient, but they're more like number two guys behind the superstar. And the Hawks just don't have that, and that's why Danny Ferry has remained cap-flexible. And going into every offseason, the Hawks will be aimed at two things. One, having plenty of draft picks or keeping their draft picks, so that they can get their own, try to find their own superstar in the draft, and or two, being cap flexible enough to be able to take advantage of a free agent who wants to come to Atlanta.
All right, so they need to lose to get a higher draft pick. They just need to go ahead and tank the rest of the season, don't they?
There's a lot of folks in that boat that say, why bother even trying to be successful? Why not just tank? And there's a couple reasons for that. One, there's no guarantee you're going to get a great pick by tanking. I mean, the Hawks had the number two pick in the draft, in a draft that had Chris Paul and Deron Williams, and somehow managed to still not come away with anything of value out of that draft.
But Danny Ferry's not an idiot like Billy Knight was.
I guess you could say that. You can make that point. But the point is that there's, you know, you just can't trust the draft.
Right.
But you shouldn't distrust it either, to the point where you're giving away very young, you control these guys for 4 years, at very, you know, very effective prices. So you got to keep your draft picks in order to maintain that cap flexibility to take advantage of somebody like Paul Millsap being available on the market for an under market price.
Jason Walker, our guest, peachtreehoops.com. All right, so for the short term now, they're 25 and 26. They'll come back after the All-Star break. They're fifth in the Eastern Conference right now, only a game back of Chicago for fourth, only 2.5 back of third, which they held that third spot forever, it seemed like, until they lost it. But they're 3.5 up on the ninth place team here. So are they in jeopardy of not making the playoffs, or what do you see happening when they come back?
Well, depending on your point of view, it can be a win-win situation for the Hawks. Either going to make the playoffs, and hey, playoff basketball is always fun, or they don't make the playoffs, and yay, all right, we're in the lottery, we weren't going anywhere anyway.
But you know what? Playoff basketball is always fun until you reach a point where every single time you know that the most you're going to ever do is reach the second round. They need to tank to get some talent, so at some point before we're dead, they can have a team that can go to the Eastern Conference Finals or maybe the NBA Finals.
Well, that's true. But don't forget, they also have Brooklyn's. Currently, Brooklyn is the 7th seed. They could fall out of the playoffs also.
But they're winning. They're doing well.
Well, they are, but the Hawks still have a better record than they do.
Right now.
So, I mean,
right now,
the Hawks, if the draft were today, they'd trade picks with the Nets.
Right.
Neither one are in the lottery right now.
Right.
So that's a possibility. But, you know, that's the conundrum. Do you tank and go all out? We all remember what happened to the Hawks when they completely bottomed out. And it was a long road to get back to relevancy. And that's a tough thing to tell people. You know, Danny Ferry does have a nice contract and is going to be here a while. But, you know, that while goes by pretty quickly when you're not competitive and you're trying to rebuild, and all of a sudden your time's up and somebody else is coming in to reap the benefits of you tanking for 3 or 4 years.
But see, here's the problem, and you and I have had this conversation before. In the history of the Atlanta Hawks franchise, since 1968, the poster child for Atlanta Hawks draft picks is Allen Henderson. And that is because the Hawks are always good enough to not be bad enough to get a high draft pick,
and yet
they're not good enough to do anything special in the playoffs. So therefore, are we getting ready to be in that mode again where they're going to get – I mean, right now they'd have the 16th pick in the draft.
Right.
So, I mean, we need to go one direction or another, don't we?
Well, I'd say, you know, if you listed the top five point guards in the NBA, would Rondo be in the top five?
Rondo?
Well, when he's healthy.
He's been hurt, yeah. I mean, that's the problem, right? When he's hurt, when he's healthy, I think probably so.
Yeah, and he was picked with the 21st pick in the draft.
Okay.
I mean, there are guys. Paul George was drafted, you know, late lottery.
Right.
Danny Granger the same way. It's just about being shrewd with the picks that you have, and you know, you can pick from anywhere and get someone. You can pick in the top 10 and completely flop. I mean, you look at the draft that had Mike Bibby, Dirk Nowitzki, Vince Carter, Anton Jameson, and Paul Pierce in it. Also had Michael Olowokandi, Robert Traylor, and the like in it as well, within the same picks.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a crapshoot, the draft is. You hope that Danny Ferry's good at evaluating the talent and get it.
And we don't know that
yet,
do we?
I mean, you just... To tank and completely give up sends the wrong message to players, too.
But we don't know.
It's tough to get on a franchise that has tanked.
Do we know whether, Danny Ferry can really pick draft picks or not? We know that he can make a great trade and get Joe Johnson out of here. We know that he can sign a free agent like Paul Millsap. But we don't know about those two kids from last year's draft yet, do we?
Yeah, all we know is that they haven't made a positive impact yet. I mean, Dennis Schroeder's been on the team. Obviously very raw, and that's why he's had some time in Bakersfield in the D-League to get some minutes in. And Lucas Nogueira has had a contract overseas. He'll probably try to come back. He'll probably try to come to the Hawks next year. So it's tough to grade Danny Ferry on those, but they're both very young players. It's akin to the Braves drafting a high school arm, right? You can't judge that draft based on that. So it's tough to get a read on Ferry. His drafts with the Cavaliers, because he had LeBron James, were always late picks also. And he did pretty well with those. I think Jeff Goodman, he's with ESPN when he was with CBS, did a nice little rundown of each of the GMs and how their drafts were. And Ferry graded out very well, considering where he was drafting. He was one of the top GMs.
He didn't give Iron Neubel the 5-year contract, did he?
He was not the one that gave Ira the 5-year contract.
Thank God. Okay, I was getting ready to
Actually, it was 4 years and $14 million, but... I can tell you Ira was really happy about it. Paul Silas was.
Yeah. Jason Walker is our guest. We are talking a little NBA basketball. All right, so when they come back here, they're going to have about 31 games left.
Right. Right.
Do you see them making any trades before the deadline?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, because the Hawks do have an interesting thing called a disabled player exception that they got for Al Horford when he left. And it's a $5.25 million exception that can be used to acquire any one player, provided that that player's contract doesn't extend beyond the end of the season. Wow. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like exactly what the Hawks might want to do to replace what they've lost with Al Horford, what they're not getting out of Lou Williams, and all of the myriad little nickel and dime injuries they've had on this team. They can do that for a team that wants to, get rid of some money that maybe they're over the luxury tax and don't want to pay it, and they can get rid of a guy. You're not going to get a superstar with that, but you could get another rotation player with that. And the Hawks do have that to use, by the trade deadline on February 20th. So they've got that to use. There's one interesting thing. A lot of people have talked about trading Jeff Teague, Bill. And the thing about trading Teague is that he has a trade kicker in his contract, but he's also got veto power this season.
Oh, really?
So you can't really trade him this year unless Teague is so miserable here in Atlanta and so interested in going wherever they want to trade him that he'd sign off on that. But he's got the veto power for this year. That's part of the collective bargaining agreement.
Are there any names out there as players they may be interested in?
Yeah, you've seen names like, Evan Turner's being shopped by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Right.
He's a good all-around talent that you really can't slot anywhere. He's really not point guard, but he's not tall enough to really be an effective shooting guard, but he does a little bit of everything. And there's been mention of Evan Turner, and also recently the Celtics floated Jeff Green's name as a possibility, and they were interested in Damari Carroll as well as anything else. Now, the thing about that disabled player exception is that you can't combine it with anything, so Carroll would have to be sent over with someone like Lou Williams to make that happen.
Do you think, would Jeff Green be a good acquisition?
It's tough because Jeff's owed quite a bit of money, and that's not the kind of guy that really Danny Ferry's looking to have. Jeff Green will make $9.2 million next year, and he's got it up. He's got a player option for another $9.2 million the year after that. So, you're still on the hook for about $18 million over 2 years. Not exactly the type of player that Paul Millsap is, and Paul Millsap was signed for about the same amount of money. Jeff Green, not the same kind of player, certainly a little smaller, maybe small forward type player for the Hawks. But it would be an interesting move, but it would be one that would take Danny out of next year in terms of going after. I just don't see it happening.
Well,
but it's an interesting matchup for that, which is probably why either Jeff Green's people or the Celtics floated it out there.
What could they get for Jeff Teague? How much value does he have right now?
Well, right now, there's still the perception that he's having his best season, which statistically isn't true. He's not. He got off to a really, really good start, and that's pretty much when everybody turned off the Atlanta Hawks, and that image of Teague playing aggressive resonated. But he's fallen off pretty significantly since that start.
Mm-hmm.
But a starting-level point guard who was considered to be a just-miss all-star, which is what he was, carries a considerable amount of cachet. He got an 4-year, $32 million offer despite really having only one full good season as a point guard. So that tells you that there is a pretty strong market for point guards, even though it's a good era of point guards. There's a pretty good market for a guy who's still young, and Teague can certainly still fetch another starting level rotation player, maybe even a big out there. But it would almost have to be during the off season, unless Jeff was very interested in going wherever it was they had him targeted to go.
Any other rumors of the Hawks interested in that big center from Houston? Not Howard, the other one?
Yeah, Omar Sheik is who the Hawks have been tied to. They were tied to them over the summer when we had discussed a possible sign and trade with Josh Smith.
Right.
But there's been no other real talk about it. And Sheik gets paid, even though on the cap he's only $8.5 million next year, he gets paid a full $15 million next year. So that comes out of the owner's wallet next year. And if you're talking about, a borderline starting center in the NBA, $15 million in cash is probably not something that they want to do.
All right. So is there a pending free agent coming up that you think that's in your mind is someone that Danny Ferry may have on his mind?
No, you really don't know because it depends on what they get in the draft. And, you don't know what Danny Ferry's going to do. Millsap is back next year, so is Horford. It'll be interesting to see. They will have Teague and Schroeder. Sheldon Mack, who's had a great season, will be back. It'll be hard to see who Danny tries to target. I would say a small forward would be nice, but before everybody gets excited about saying Carmelo Anthony,
that doesn't.
Carmelo is making about $21 million this year. I don't think that the Hawks are going to go that deep.
And he's the anti-Spurs type player. There's no way.
You're absolutely right.
No way.
I'll tell you who they might go for, but he's a restricted free agent. They may make an offer sheet to someone like Gordon Hayward of Utah. Mm-hmm. 6'8", small forward, kind of fits that Spurs mentality, great off the ball, excellent shooter. Somebody like that, I could see Danny making him play for. But he is a restricted free agent, which means Utah could match whatever the Hawks throw at him.
They need a draft pick. They need a top five draft pick. If this draft is the real deal, they really need a tank. I mean,
just like the recruitniks who track the flights.
Yeah.
Will we be seeing a Bill Shanks charter to Brooklyn very shortly?
If I'm going to Brooklyn, it's going to be news. I can promise you that. Yeah.
The Hawks a top five pick, said Shanks.
Yeah, no, I think that would help a lot. I really do.
Yeah, it would. And some great talent. Now, the one thing about having a full draft, and everybody could be hoping if the Hawks do make the playoffs or just miss and get a lower pick in the lottery,
you gotta
hope everybody announces for the draft to push all these great talents.
No, you're right.
Down the line to the Hawks. But the Hawks would still get somebody really good even in the middle of the draft.
All right, well, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. Jason Walker's been our guest. We hope you'll check out the website, PeachTreeHoops.com. Always a pleasure. Hey, we'll have you back on soon before I even come to spring training.
Sounds good.